It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Barstool Big Cat is here. He's brought to you by Manscaped, men's luxury grooming tools, and Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Barstool Big Cat, host of Pardon My Take, and voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
I believe Big Cat's coming in town for the All-Star Game. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir. I don't know how excited I am for it, but I'm coming. I'm more excited to be back in Chicago. I don't know about... We were discussing this just a second ago. Are you guys like excited for the dunk contest?
Or the what?
Any of that stuff?
What is dunk this, contest? What is this dunk contest that you're speaking of?
I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Who's in it?
I think it, well, Dwight Howard's coming back. He's going to be in it. Is Aaron Gordon back in it?
Aaron Gordon's in it.
Yeah.
Pat Connaughton's
right.
in it. I think Derek Jones, I think, is
yes.
in it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Fourth person. I don't know. I was actually saying the way to... Because I think there will be a lot of like really good Kobe tributes this weekend.
Right.
As there should be. But how about someone jumps over like a pit of venomous snakes?
Now I'm in. But
yeah.
You know what? When Dwight Howard, who's 6'11", puts like a fake mask over his face and dunks, and I can't see the rim. You don't have to just reach up and touch it because you're 6'11". I'm not entertained by that.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going on Saturday night just so that I can say I went to one. You know what I mean? It's one of those ones where I can just be like, oh yeah, I've been to a dunk contest, but it's probably the least excited I am of going to like a sporting event in a long time. I know that sounds terrible to say. But I feel like the dunk contest has kind of lost a little luster.
Yeah, I think some of the dunks, though, are really good. I know what you're saying. I think we always say this sort of stuff going into an All-Star game, but afterwards we're always like, okay, it wasn't that bad. And Barkley was with us yesterday, and Chuck just told us, a Big Cat, that look, all this is a showcase for the league. You know, and whatever it is, and it should just be like a festival for basketball.
Yeah, no, it absolutely should be, and it's fun. And maybe this is my age, showing my age, where it's like I'm doing a little of the old man yells at cloud, but, you know, even the All-Star game, I remember when it felt like guys would try in the fourth quarter, and it was kind of fun because it would be like the best five versus the best five and East versus West, and there was a little bit of bragging rights, and now it just feels like, no one really is trying, and no one really cares, so... I don't know. I'm excited to be back in Chicago. I actually think that if Jerry Reinsdorf is smart, whatever logo is on the court at the United Center on Saturday night and Sunday, he keeps that on the court for the rest of the year so they can just post pictures of a packed United Center in the middle of April and be like, look, another sold-out night, even though it's just the crowd from the dunk contest.
I'm not going to rage against the All-Star game at all because I think it serves its purpose. It's entertainment. Nobody's playing exceptionally hard. You're right. The guys probably played a little harder back in the day. But the last thing I want to see is one of these top players get hurt. So I'm cool with how they play the game. I just wish there was a rule. Like, if you're over 6'5", you're not allowed in the dunk contest. I want to see little guys dunk. I want to see the little guys do these incredible things. That's what excites me about the dunk contest. If you're 6'11", you should not be allowed to be in the dunk contest.
I totally agree. And really, you know, what we're saying is not like news-breaking stuff here. Like the All-Star game, besides, I think MLB is really the only All-Star game that kind of you can sit down and watch and be like, oh, this is fun because... You can't go halfway when you're throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. So
right.
There's that element of it. But every other All-Star game, it's really not supposed to look like a real game anyway.
Let me ask you about, we were joking upstairs that it's not only that the Bulls stink and they're not really represented in this All-Star game. There's no marketing. Kobe White didn't even make the Rising Stars. Zach LaVine didn't make the All-Star game. He's not dunking. He is shooting the three. if that's not enough, Big Cat, tonight into tomorrow, as the All-Stars arrive, will be like the coldest day of our winter. We've had a pretty good winter. And I feel like we're going to get a bunch of superstars in our town leaving the club saying to themselves, damn, this is why I don't play in Chicago. It's too cold here. You know what I mean?
It's true. The free agency courting, it would have been nice if it was, you know, 60 degrees all weekend and everyone said, oh, Chicago's like this in February. This isn't so bad. But, yeah, I mean, it's just more the same for what the Bulls season's been, for what it's, you know, the direction of the franchise. It's depressing. It really is. I watched the entire game the other night with the Wizards, and Zach LaVine was great. And he's shooting the lights out, and he's going to have the three-point record for, you know, most threes made by a Bull in a season. And it's all for naught, and they're just a depressing team to watch and a depressing franchise to root for right now.
All right, let's talk about some liars then. Did you catch the Astros press conference today?
Oh, man, was that a press conference.
Wasn't that great?
Who does the PR down there? Like, how can you screw up? How can you go in front of the public and the media and trying to, the message is, we're sorry, somehow make it significantly worse. That Jim Crane, I mean, forget Altuve and Bregman, who basically gave like 30-second canned, you know, pre-written apologies and walked off and didn't take questions. Jim Crane, the owner for the Astros, that was so bizarre when he basically said it had no impact. Yes, we cheated, but it had no impact. And then when someone said, hey, so you just said it had no impact, how could you think that? And he's like, I never said that. It's crazy. It's crazy. It reminds me of Rick Pitino, when Rick Pitino got in his whole thing at Louisville, and he apologized but admitted no guilt. So everyone was like, but what are you apologizing for?
Right.
Like, well, if something bad happened, I want to apologize, but I didn't do anything.
It's amazing what $1 billion will allow you to actually kind of believe and not believe. Like, if you're a billionaire, I guess you can say something and then 30 seconds later go, I didn't say
everyone's
that.
Like, that's just a crazy billionaire.
You know why? I'm a billionaire.
Yeah.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
I said I'm a billionaire.
It's incredible.
And you're not.
I'm a crazy rich man.
It's incredible. And I don't think, by the way, that like this story is going away. They think that this is going to be enough. Rob Manfred has kind of miscalculated, you know, how deep this went, how mad the players are. Think about this. Like, if you're a player on an opposing team and you're watching this all unfold and they're basically saying, you know, A.J. Hinch is gone, they got reprimanded a little bit, but not one single player is facing any type of penalty. I'd be so mad if I was a player who had to play the Astros, who's been competing and doing things the right way. This is not like the steroid thing where everyone was doing steroids and the MLB was looking the other way. This is blatant cheating that, you know, was using cameras, and then MLB said, wait, hold on, this is cheating, but no one gets punished for it.
Yeah, but if you read Manfred's newest proposition here, 24 wild card teams, so like everyone's going to be happy.
Wait,
so you got six division winners.
Waddle's mad, Big Cat.
And 24 wild card teams, so everyone's good, right? Astros?
I got dragged on online for saying that I kind of like the playoff proposal. Like, I know what you're saying. It does feel like it cheapens the regular season if half of the league makes the playoffs. But you're telling me right now that you wouldn't be excited to watch a playoff team pick their opponent and watch a team that barely gets in have a three-game shot at maybe getting on a run? Like, I know there's some unintended consequences for it, and that's really what I'm more focused on. Like, the playoff proposal to me, it's halfway there. I don't think you can have that many teams make the playoffs, because what will end up happening is you will have basically the Chicago Bulls, to bring it full circle.
That's right.
You'll have owners sitting in front of their fan base and saying, well, we made the playoffs 3 years in a row. Meanwhile, they won 84 games and got the seventh seed and got swept 3 years in a row. So you can't have that. Like, you can't let owners get a pass by not putting a competitive team out there and saying, well, we made the playoffs. But I do like the idea of picking your opponent. I think that adds a very fun element of intrigue.
We went down the baseball rabbit hole, and Waddle was very cranky the other day. Not only did he not like the postseason report, then he's starting to tell us baseball season is too long, and he needs it reduced to like 100 games.
Don't take it from me. Take it from smarter people than me. How about this? This same smart guy, Big Cat, said 3 of the last 6 years, a team with a losing record would have been in a would have been a playoff team under this new proposal. That's what you want, right? You want like half of the last 6 years, a team with a losing record is going to be playing for all the marbles.
No, come on. I don't want that. And the best part is, like when I read the proposal, the first thing I did, I'm sure you did the same thing, Sylvie, I went and looked, and the Cubs wouldn't have made it last year.
Right.
And the collapse would have been even more excruciating. But I agree. I initially was like, ooh, this sounds like a lot of fun.
Me
the
too.
More I've thought about it, the more I realize 7 teams is too much. But
what I actually did, Big Cat, was when we were reading it when it came out immediately, and I was like, okay. The one thing that caught my eye was the wild card series weren't going to be one and done. They were going to be best of three, and all three games were going to be played in the better seeds place. And I'm like, I think baseball's a sport of series, so I'm cool with that. I went to the bathroom. I took care of business. I came back, and I completely changed my mind. I'd had a chance to think about it, and I was like, no chance. This is dumb. Like, one trip to the bathroom, and I completely changed my opinion on the baseball proposition.
Well, I want to say that, the bigger picture issue here is that you actually went to the bathroom with thinking about one thing and came out of the bathroom still thinking about it.
Yeah.
So credit to you.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. You held that thought for, like, what, 10 minutes?
A lot of focus. A lot of focus in the men's room. I'm famous for it.
Can we call the segment, like, Flush It? Like, where you come up with a bad take?
Yeah.
And then you go to the bathroom, and you flush it, and you change your opinion.
Or how about this? That's crap!
Yeah, you think about it. You think on it. Yeah, I mean, I kind of land in the same place. I really did like it when I first read it. And I like the idea of having more teams in the mix, because I think baseball is such a sport where you really only care about your team, and it's so city-specific. And I'm thinking, like, how can we get more franchises kind of in on the party? But the unintended consequences of what I just said, where owners can basically say, oh, we made the playoffs, but we really didn't, that would be a bummer. And I think that for that reason, pretty much alone, I would be out on the 7 teams. But I like to pick your own opponent. I think they need to figure out a way to keep that.
Yeah. As far as, like, the season being too long, I know Waddle doesn't like some of the cold weather games, but as a Twitter person put it, and I was sort of saying this too the other day, but they summed it up in a really good way. No one ever says, boy, I can't wait for the baseball season to end if you like baseball. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
If you like baseball, are you ever saying, boy, I can't wait for the baseball season to end? And if you don't like baseball, you're never saying, you know what I would do? I'd watch more baseball if they played less games. That doesn't make sense either.
Right. I think that's really where it lands, too, with baseball in general, is that baseball has to decide whether they're going to, going forward, be a sport with hardcore baseball fans, which they have. They have a great fan base through generations of people who are passionate about baseball, but they probably don't get as many casual fans as NBA or the NFL, who kind of, you know, show up for the playoffs or show up for big games. Or are they going to try to, you know, expand their base and get those casual fans and change what the game looks like a little bit? That's their ultimate struggle. I think all they have to really do is just let us post highlights, and that would probably fix everything.
All right. I want to know if you've taken one of your opinions about a certain football league and if you flushed it and called it crap. And I also want to know, you were on Dokich's show earlier this week, correct? Dokich said something interesting that we still haven't played on our show during the Illini game, and I want to play it for you and see if you agree. All that with Big Cat coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Barstool Big Cat joining us right here on ESPN 1000.
And I know he's grooving to a little Hall & Oates as well while he's hanging in there.
They used to play this at the Bulls games.
Why, they stink.
No,
I like Hall & Oates.
Who doesn't love this song?
I like Hall & Oates.
It's a great song. It's a feel-good. Makes you feel good. Makes you tap your toes.
Said toes, right?
Big Cat, is this true? Did you bet 19 college basketball games last night?
Yep. I went 8-10. 8-10-1, that's basically winning.
I have a proposition for you.
Listen, I say that as a joke, but anyone who has ever put together a card like that, going 8-10 is winning.
No,
because I had a full night of entertainment, of highs and lows and ups and downs, and I only lost two, I won.
I have a proposition for you. We would like to challenge you to a 10. We'd like to offer a 10-team parlay challenge where you submit your 10-team parlay. We submit our 10-team parlay. We won't tell each other what we're betting on. If we have cross-pollination of our bets, that's fine. But if we have more wins than you do, then you owe us money and vice versa.
Okay, fine.
You want to do
I
that?
I have 13 plays tonight.
Okay, well, we can do 13. We'll do a 13 game.
You are 13
parlay
what
challenge.
What happened in a while?
Okay.
Go ahead. So find 13 plays tonight. I've already been in the lab all day.
Okay. All right. So we're going to put together a 13-team parlay as well. We're going to bet it. How much are you putting on it? $10? $5?
Whatever you guys want. Yeah. Whatever you guys want.
Well, that doesn't even matter. You bet however much you want on your parlay. We're going to do like a $5 or $10 parlay with 13 teams. But we're going to challenge you that we'll get more right than you get.
Perfect.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you guys right now,
Big Cat's going to win. He knows more about college basketball than the four of us combined.
8-10-1 says what to you? Loser.
We would have gone 0-19 yesterday.
No, we wouldn't. We could throw darts and hit 500.
We went 0-6.
No, you can't. 8-10-1 is a winning night. And the night before, I went 9-6 on a 15-play
card. Okay, well, I guess we have a bet then.
So go ahead. Give me your 13 plays.
Well, I haven't looked at them yet.
Right now. You want them now.
What are your 13 plays? Let me hear your 13 plays.
Do you actually want me to say them all?
I don't think he should tell us.
No, I don't think so either, because I'm just going to use like 12 of his and then change one of them.
Indiana, Iowa over. Delaware, Elon over. Stanford, Arizona State under. Oregon State, San Francisco, Delaware, Elon over.
You don't know where it is.
UT
that's
Martin.
Crazy. You have no idea.
Someone DM'd me and said they saw Appalachian State out drinking last night, so I took Georgia State.
You know, Big Cat, it's funny. Waddle's yelling at you, and I'm on Team Waddle, but he's yelling at you, and he's betting on the XFL last week. We went with both favorites, and we went with the overs, and we went 0-4 on those bets.
Of course you did. Did you guys like it?
I thought it was good, yeah.
Are you going to watch this weekend?
You're anti-XFL.
I'm not anti-XFL. My problem is I'm not going to let myself get invested in something that I just don't know if will be around for a long time.
Oh, my God. Do you have commitment issues really that bad?
I have commitment issues, and on top of all of that, I look at the sports calendar, and I'm a big-time believer in, like, you always got to look ahead. Like, I know when dates are coming. I know when things are coming on the sports calendar. You think I'm going to watch the XFL when March Madness is on? Do you think I'm going to watch the XFL when the Masters is going on? Do you think I'm going to watch the XFL when the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs are going on? Like, I'm not going to watch it. You got the multi-TV setup.
You always brag about it.
But I'm just saying, like, I know myself, and I got it. Can I get a 20 here?
I want a 20, okay? Can I get a 20?
Yeah.
I don't even need to turn this into a full timeout, because all I'm going to tell you is the XFL season will be over by the time the Masters is on, won't it?
Nope.
It's not?
I don't think
I think it's a
10-week season.
It's 10 weeks in the playoffs, but it's only two games a day.
I know. I watched it, and I actually didn't hate it. Like, I liked it more than the AAF. I thought it was better than the AAF. It's still not good football, and I guess really what it comes down to is, like, what am I rooting for? What am I watching it for? I don't know. I guess I'm conflicted, and I'm sitting here telling you that, like, maybe I'll end up liking it. I also think that, like, I don't know if you guys noticed, you watched most of the games, I assume.
The fact that
they have all these new rules and no one's using them, like, no one's going for 3 points. I think there's There's a double pass rule. No one's doing that. It's like, if you're gonna make all these new rules, use them. Don't be a conservative football coach.
By the way, you are correct. Week 9 will fall right on top of the Masters. Yeah, you're right.
Listen, the one skill I have in life is I know when sports big sports weekends are coming up, and I avoid making any type of commitment on those weekends.
Indy 500.
Oh, that's not a big sports weekend, but it's always Memorial Day.
Okay, I'm asking.
It is always Memorial Day.
Yeah.
But I know, yeah, like March Madness. Do you know March Madness starts the 19th this year?
Late.
A little later.
Right.
A little later.
Very late.
Keep your eye on it.
Baseball starts early this year, end of March.
Yeah. So you got to know these things. You
well, with Wisconsin's lack of prowess this year, you'll be able to take a more laid-back approach to March Madness, won't you?
They'll be in the tournament, and the tournament is not about one single team. It's about the whole thing. It's about, you know, watching college athletes play for their school and do it the right way, / gamble on every game.
All right, so you were on how was the Dan Dockage experience for you? You were a guest on his show.
It was good. I accused him of, he's got a big time beef with Bobby Knight, and Bobby Knight went back to Bloomington on Saturday, and I said that it's because Dan Dockage is like a millennial and can't take tough coaching anymore, so he didn't appreciate that. But everything else was good. I love Dan.
So this was, I don't know if you caught this. One of my friends in the burbs texted me. I wasn't watching the game, and I think the Bulls were on and the Hawks were on, and he was telling me about this announcer, and I'm like, whoa, what announcer said that? And then it turned out that it was our buddy Dockage who said this. Tell me if you agree with this take.
You're going to think this is crazy, but it's a pretty physical game. Sometimes you got to look at the bodies of the referees.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Donnie Epley is a built dude. Built guy. Really built guy, right? I mean, strong as heck. DJ Carcassonne is a big, tall guy. The bigger, the stronger the guy, the less fouls they call. I'm telling you. There is a referee, famous referee, Steve Wohl.
I know Steve.
Okay?
Yep.
You had to commit violence to get Steve to call a foul because Steve was a big old guy that played inside and knew that every touch wasn't a foul. I'm telling you.
Wasn't he also famous for hitching his pants
like
100 times a game?
Yeah, he was unbelievable. Everybody has seen that hockey referee in football, so now everybody thinks, I got to get some arms on it.
So do you buy that the difference there, though, is Hockley would like to make calls so he could flex. He's saying the stronger the official, the less fouls they call.
I kind of agree with that.
And how will that affect your 13-team parlay tonight?
I don't know. I should have looked at, the BMI of every single referee.
You should have.
You know, that's one of those crazy things that Dockage comes up with, and I'm sitting there like, you know what? I kind of agree. You know, I still play pickup basketball on Saturday mornings, and I know that, like, just as a stupid guy code that makes no sense, like, I don't really call fouls on the other big guys, and they don't call fouls on me, where the guards will call, like, all kinds of ticky-tack stuff and yell and one and everything. So I kind of agree with it.
Were you a yelling and one guy ever when you were playing? And one!
No. I don't move fast enough.
That's good.
So.
Yeah, well, I mean, what a jerk that guy is, isn't he? And one.
Yeah.
And one guy. You know what? Stick it.
Yeah. The and one guy and the guy who will, he thinks he's James Harden. He's taking, like, 16 Euro steps and then getting a little bit of contact and scoring a foul.
Yeah. What about the ball game guy? He's shooting it in the air, calling ball game before the ball goes off the rim. And, you know, he thinks it's going in. He's like, ball game.
Yeah, I've done that, and I've missed, which is awesome. But that's just a joke. Actually, my move, a little tip, this always will crack everyone up, lighten the mood. If there's a loose ball and it's, like, getting a little physical, I just call a timeout and pick up hoops. And everyone stops, and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, we don't have a timeout. And it's always great. Always gets a laugh. So you gotta, I do it, like, once or twice a year, and it always gets a laugh.
That's outstanding.
That is
fantastic. All right, well, safe travels to Chicago. Did you see, by the way, the woman who reclined her seat, the ongoing topic, and then the guy who just continued to punch the back of her
seat? Are we sure that's not staged? Was that staged?
I don't know. I just know that, like, I'm fine with, reclining seats because that's what they're there for. My problem is when the person reclines a seat, like, the second the wheels go off of the ground, that feels like it's just have a little respect for the moment.
How about, like, a half recline? Like, instead of taking it all the way back.
Well, isn't it a half recline to begin with? It's not really a recline.
If you're over 6 feet, which Sylvie, you're not, right?
No, not even close.
They should have a rule that it's basically, like, big people seats and small people seats, and then you just can't recline in the big people seats. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Interesting, based on the height regulation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've changed my way since we started this debate 3 years ago. I always thought, look, the button's there. It's there for recline. Everyone's got full recline ability. You recline. Now I was told you got to ask the person. I don't even ask. I just don't recline.
Well, you don't need the leg room some of the time.
That's true, too. I mean.
Yeah. I think the rule is if someone reclines on you, then you probably should just recline back and then just do it that way. But if no one's reclining on you, just leave it be.
Okay. All right. Are you going to send your 13-team parlay to Abdallah at some point?
Yeah, it's out there in the world. Okay. Everyone can see it. I'm going to go 13-0.
All right. Abdallah, you want this challenge?
13-0. I'm going to fly private to Chicago tomorrow.
I think you're going to go 5-7-1 and call it like a win.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like Ric Flair coming into town, limousine riding, jet flying after this 13-game part of mine.
One pick right guy, that's who you are.
Listen, if I go, you don't understand what I'm saying. If I go 6-7, that's a winning night.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Do you cash a ticket?
No.
It's entertainment.
I picked six winners. I picked eight winners last night. There were 10 losers, but I picked eight winners. I just texted it to him.
All right. See you, Big Cat.
I'll hopefully see you guys this
weekend.
There you
go. Yep. He's coming to town. Barstool Big Cat, brought to you by Manscaped, Men's Luxury Grooming Tools, and Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Speaking of fun, a bonus Barkley. How good was Sir Charles with us yesterday? You'll hear some of the best from yesterday's broadcast coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Restaurant's 400.
This beefy building follows the names of Chicago's Chicago Cut and Minneapolis's Manny's. Josh.
Was Chop House?
Nope. Jamie or Danielle? You're close, Josh. Not Chop House, but Steakhouse. Back to you.
Chicago Cut was a part of a question. Was that today's Jeopardy, too?
I'm not sure. Is it?
When was that?
I believe it was yesterday.
Yesterday. Wow. And we were at Chicago Cut yesterday. Thank you to David Flom and Maddie Moore. Some great pictures on Instagram, too. Make sure you are following the ESPN Chicago Instagram account. Great videos. There was a video today of Scottie Pippen at First Take signing the Kobe Bryant tribute wall over at Navy Pier. So really great behind-the-scenes moments. And I want to thank everyone at Chicago Cut, our title sponsor, First Midwest Bank. I saw Mike, their CEO, Jim, who does great stuff and has been a great partner to work with. Saw some guys from your Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana Acura dealers, all of our great partners.
Fantastic
group. And it was just all the way around. Our fans who were out there, outstanding. And it could not happen without Randy Merkin, who has developed this relationship with Charles Barkley with our show. That's how this thing started. He knew Barkley when he was our executive producer. He's been the assistant program director on the station for years. And we love working with him. And we've gotten to know Charles because of him throughout the year. And we asked Charles this yesterday, what is the right tribute to Kobe Bryant on All-Star Game Day?
Well, I think the guys are doing a great thing wearing 24-2, the players. I think that's a nice gesture. As far as Commissioner Stern, who is, I mean, obviously we're a little biased, arguably the greatest commissioner in sports, I think they should probably, I don't know if the MVP of the game got a name. I think the MVP of the All-Star game get the David Stern MVP trophy. I mean, that's just something I thought of on the spot. But like I say, Kobe, the players are wearing 24-2. I think that's a really nice gesture. But I think we need to name some award after Commissioner Stern for what he – you know, when I got to the NBA the same year Commissioner Stern did, the average salary was $200,000. Now the average salary is $7.5 million. I mean, it's crazy. You know, it's so crazy. I was telling this story. Number one, I'm not one of them old guys who complain how much money these guys make. But I remember one time, I'm in the room with some of the all-time greats, Moses, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Dr. J. I remember the first time a guy made $1 million, we were high-fiving each other. We could not believe a guy made $1 million for playing basketball. And you're like, this is crazy where this money is today. Number one, bless him, but that's how old I am. We were high-fiving each other when a guy made $1 million. Now that's not even a minimum salary now.
Let me ask you this. Would it be appropriate then, and this is a tough, maybe I should ask if it's inappropriate, to rename the championship trophy? I know it's been named appropriately after Larry O'Brien all these years, former commissioner before David Stern. Is it in any way appropriate? Is it okay if the league considered now having that trophy be the David Stern trophy?
Actually, Mike, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that at all. You know, I don't know how the O'Brien family would feel about it. But, listen, he's had the O'Brien trophy's had a great run. I mean, I know there's some people wanted to change the logo to Kobe, which I'm against that. Because let me just tell you, and I said this on our show, and we honored Kobe. And we had Jerry West on, and he was telling Kobe stories. Jerry West might be the nicest human being I've ever met in my life. He's been a great player. He's been a great general manager. But he's just a good dude. I mean, I've known Jerry West a long time. And, man, I love being around him. And when he was on our show crying, telling Kobe stories, it made me emotional because nobody's had a better life in basketball than Jerry West.
What about Kobe? When did you first meet him? And what are some stories that you could tell us we know on the court? But what about personally?
Well, I have gotten a little frustrated with all these guys lying, said how great of friends they've been with Kobe. Me and Shaq was talking about it the other night. You know, I've seen every guy on TV who played in the NBA talk about how close they were with Kobe, and they were just lying. Because me and Shaq was joking about this actually last week. Because, you know, I've known Kobe a long time, and this is our conversation. Hey, Charles, how you doing? Good to see you. Everything good? See you later. He was not one of those guys who were going to sit down and talk and drink a beer with you. You know, there's been legendary stories that where Kobe would go into a restaurant and the team at a table, he'd go to a table by himself. I think he was a good dude. I didn't know him well enough to say good or bad. But like I say, I met him, let's say, 50 times, and it was the same conversation. Hey, Charles, how you doing? Good to see you. See you later.
On the court, was he as close to Michael as anybody?
Yes.
So he is the one that reminds you most of what Michael was able to do.
And I've said this before. Michael's the GOAT. Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, Kareem, Wilt, Kobe, LeBron, Tim Duncan, Bird, Magic, Jerry West. That's my top all time. In that order, just my opinion. And I always tell people I admire LeBron James for what he did. I think his story is one of the greatest ever. For an 18-year-old kid to come to the NBA, be that great, never had a stitch of trouble, it's remarkable. But I still have never pushed him past Kobe. And that's no disrespect. I mean, I didn't say he was Felton Spencer. I said
right. Somewhere Felton Spencer's not feeling good about himself.
But LeBron is great, but he's not better than Kobe. But it was a really difficult day for me. Like, and I'm not an emotional guy, but I started crying when I first heard it. And it was just because, you know, even though we weren't great friends, I felt like I knew him a little bit, and it was an honor and a privilege. I've covered him, you know, all these years, and then to see his young daughter and all those other people. And I made sure that I talked a lot. I didn't do any interviews after it happened. I had at least, you know, hundreds of requests because I didn't know what to say. I released a statement like 2 days later, but I needed some time. Just like I saw Mike and I saw all these guys on television, and Mike said earlier, he's like, "You ask these questions on the fly," and I didn't want to answer any questions on the fly because, man, I just felt sadness. I just felt sadness.
Charles, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
To follow up, I want to ask you. To be honest, I mean, I was at the Super Bowl for a week. I've covered the Super Bowl week 35 times, maybe at least 30. It was not the same.
Yeah.
I went to Los Angeles at the end of that week to be part of the network's coverage. It is the saddest I have seen a place over a person. You know, I don't mean like Oklahoma City after that or 9/11, right, but sure. After a person left. It was the saddest I've ever been anywhere. L.A., that weekend. And I just wonder if All-Star Week, I mean, I know we're 2 weeks plus, 2 weeks and a couple of days out. Mm-hmm. But does that feeling still permeate? Because I don't feel as joyous going into an All-Star Week as I usually do.
Well, I think this is a turning point. I think this is a turning point for the NBA. I think, like, guys, we got to get back, and I don't mean to sound like a jackass or anything. Like, okay, guys, we all been hurting, but we got to get back to playing basketball. This guy is a basketball, like, it was the most important thing in his life. Like, this is the best way to honor him. Like, we did all the tributes. We did everything. Like, we all been hurting, but the best thing for us to do now is, like, let's make this dude proud and just go out and compete.
I know it's a cliche to say it, but it feels like it fits from your perspective that what he would want you to do is go play. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he would want you to get back to the business of playing the game and being the best you could.
But see, for me, I need basketball. Because when something bad happens, when you're just sitting at home in pain, or, you know, you're with family and friends, or you see, like, if something happened in somebody else's family and you go visit them, like, that sucks.
Yeah.
I need basketball because I'm thinking about so much stuff on the basketball court. Like, even though for 2 hours, it's just like, okay, thank you, I needed that. Now I got to go back. But, like, I needed basketball when bad stuff happened. I mean, because like I say, when you play a sport, or like even like when these guys here, when they go to their job, it's a reprieve from sadness, because that is our job. And these guys here and ladies who work, like, sometimes when things bad, when you go to work, it's a reprieve.
Yeah.
Should his number be retired by all the teams? Is that a team by team decision?
I think it's a team by team decision. Like, you know, I'm not big on the retirement jerseys, to be honest with you, because when Magic got HIV, I called Magic and I said, hey, I want to honor you and wear your jersey. And I had to call Billy Cunningham. I said, Billy, and who's a great mentor to me this day, I said, Billy, I know your number's retired. I want to wear it just to support Magic for the year. And I did. But the Sixers have called me before and say, hey, somebody want to wear your number. I'm like, I don't care. My number's already up in the Raptors. I'm good with that. I take that as like, my first question would be, can he play? I don't want no bomb getting mine. You know? But if you got like the number one draft pick and he happened to be number 34, I'm like, yeah, he can wear my jersey. I don't want the 12th man on the bench wearing my damn jersey.
By the way, that's the best of Barkley, and you can hear the entire Barkley show, the entire show on Saturday at noon. So remember the new hockey show?
It's
the hockey show at 9 on Saturday, the entire Barkley show noon.
That was about 3 hours as well.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah. All right, we need a contestant for my wife or radio partner. How about caller 34 for Chuck? You get to play coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Dwayne Wade and that brand new exclusive access to his documentary is coming to Joe's on Weed Street. I knew I mentioned them during yesterday's show. They were at the show. I didn't know that. Tommy DeSanto and Ed Warham.
Yeah, they were both there.
They were there, and I'm like, Tommy. Tommy came up to me, and I'm like, those guys have been running Joe's on Weed Street, and now a lot of the newer ones, for a long, long time.
I can't tell you how many times I've taken my kids, they were, you know, adults at the time, to see concerts there. Eli Young, we saw Chris Lane, we saw Old Dominion. I mean, we've seen a ton of shows there.
Yeah, so in right, what we've got hooked up for you is ESPN 1000 and White Claw. They're partnering up for exclusive access to this D. Wade, Life Unexpected. It's the sneak preview next Thursday night at Joe's on Weed Street. The only way to see this sneak peek of the new ESPN Films documentary is to win your way in. And here's all you need, a cell phone, and tweet D. Wade, the letter D with Wade, W-A-D-E, all one word, to 31996. That's text D. Wade to 31996. Of course, he's a Chicago native. He's won 3 championships, 13-time All-Star. He's in town right now. You can see Life Unexpected before anybody else. And remember, the world's premiere is Sunday the 23rd at 8 o'clock Chicago time on ESPN. But we've got this exclusive screening thanks to White Claw and also everyone at Joe's on Weed. So get that out, and you'll have a chance to win. Right now, it's one contestant's chance to win, my wife or radio partner.
It's now time for my wife or my radio partner.
My wife. Now, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or my radio partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My wife or my radio partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right. My wife or radio partner is always brought to you by our fine friends at Swift & Sons.
Swifty.
An American Steakhouse in the West Loop. If you're heading to any of the All-Star Game festivities, before and or after, go to Swift & Sons in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. Going to be a party. That area is going to be hopping for All-Star Weekend. It's hopping every single weekend. It's anchored by Swift & Sons. They're great steaks and seafood and ambiance and service and an award-winning pastry chef. And don't forget the Boca Restaurant Group, named number one restaurateurs in the entire country.
That's top award there.
Yeah, that is the James Beard Award. So congratulations to the Boca Restaurant Group. You can congratulate them and see what they're all about at Swift & Sons.
How funny is this? I'm watching golf over your shoulder right? at times. There's mm-hmm. a golfer, and his last name is Shank. And I just watch him miss a putt, like, way off.
It's perfect, right?
I was giggling just to myself, like, that guy's name is Shank.
It's like David Fales.
Adam Shank.
The quarterback for the Bears, David Fales. And we've had some other ones, haven't we?
Chris Blewett, the kicker.
Yes, that's where we got into all these names. There's a Chris Shank. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Jose and Berwyn. Hi, Jose.
Hey, how you doing, Sylvie?
You're our contestant.
How you doing, Waddle?
Now,
hey,
now. Not that I keep track of these things, but the guys didn't seem to remember. If I'm correct, I would guess that this is probably your third time playing the game.
Oh, you're definitely correct.
Jose's a pro.
I'm the one who always picks the wifey.
Uh-oh.
Are you 0 for 2 so far in previous games?
Oh, you know it, man.
This is your time.
I know Valentine's is tomorrow. I'm not going to be on the show tomorrow, so happy Valentine's Day to my sweet, special girl, Yanette Alvarez, and then to all the single mothers out there, happy Valentine's Day too, man.
Look at that, Jose. Well, that's done, what I love Jose. About you. What a thought.
Getting brownie points.
Yeah, nice. All right, here we go. If my wife made the statement, this is a sound you're going to hear. If my radio partner made the statement, this is what you're going to hear.
Hot dog.
Here we go, Jose. Hopefully third's the charm. Statement number one, I never should have drove you. You should have taken an Uber. I never should have drove you. You should have taken an Uber.
I'm going to go with the wife.
Well, you know, because I'm going to use better English than that. I'm going to say I never should have driven you. I ain't going. I shouldn't have drove you.
That was yesterday. My wife, as we were trying to get to my hotel because I stayed overnight because I had to wake up early for first take. And GPS sent us down the wrong road, and it was trying to get her the right way, and I'd been drinking. So she was doing the driving, and she was getting frustrated at me. And after offering to drive me, she said, you should have taken an Uber.
I can't blame her. I think it's solid. I think it's solid logic she used.
Jose, you only need one out of the next two to finally win this elusive gift card.
You know what I'm going with, right?
Statement number two: pesto is coming out of my esophagus. Pesto is coming out of my esophagus.
Man, that sounds like Waddle. I'm going with Waddle. I mean, radio partner. Yeah, Waddle.
The curse is over.
Yes.
Finally.
Do you remember when you said this?
I ate something with the sandwich down in Miami. It had pesto on it. It was burning a hole through my esophagus.
On Radio Row.
Yeah, I hadn't had it in a long time.
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
All right, for you know what's in giggles and for going for the sweep, statement number three, sorry I wasn't petting you. Sorry, I wasn't petting you.
That's your wifey, Polly. Hot dog, hot dog. Oh, I love it.
That was wild. It was a day or two ago.
No, it was Meller. Meller was sitting next to me on the couch in one of our meetings, and my hand actually reached over and accidentally, like, softly touched his shoulder, and he looked at me funny and go, dude, I'm sorry. I wasn't petting you. That was an accident.
Accidentally.
I accidentally petting him. I wasn't petting him.
Yeah, that's great. Jose, hold on. I'll get your info.
All right, thank you, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too, Jose.
The Astros just became that much more unlikable today. We'll tell you about it in 2 minutes.